This is the Northeast Ohio AFSC Weekly Audio Podcast. I'm Greg Coleridge. It is Friday, October the 7th. Thanks so much for listening. We seek every week to inform you about issues you feel are important, update you about past and upcoming AFSC plans and activities, and inspire you to take action. It is, after all, grassroots social movements made up of well-informed, prepared, and motivated people that always create real change. It was an exceedingly busy week last week for AFSC, so much so that even some of the activities that we helped in some way, shape, or form organize, we couldn't even attend since they conflicted with other activities. But anyway, beginning last Saturday, as I went into quite a bit last week, I spoke at the 12th Annual American Monetary Institute Conference on the Power Elite's 10 Strategic Actions or Strategies Opposing Monetary Reform. That was very well received and was used as a springboard for further discussion about where the movement and needs to be and needs to go, and how the AMI will be trying to work with others to build both awareness and strategies and developing actions that try to move the ball down the field to promote real monetary reform that democratizes money creation, ends the privatization or corporatization of it, and helps us move toward a system where we the people determine how much and for what purposes money in our society should be used to address both physical and human infrastructure needs that, in the end, promote and further justice, peace, nonviolence, sustainability, and, of course, democracy. Anyway, that was part of a weekend conference that began last Friday and, well, actually Thursday, and went through Sunday morning. On Wednesday, we co-sponsored with the Unitarian Church of Akron, First Unitarian Church, a presentation and discussion via Skype with Paul Engler, who is the co-author with his brother, Mark, on the book This Is an Uprising, looking at nonviolent movements in the 21st century. And it was just a terrific presentation. Fortunately, the technology worked out real well, which you always have to wonder whenever technology is involved in showing a film or trying to use projectors of any sort, connecting them with different machines and computers, laptops. Well, all that did work out. Paul did come through very clearly, visually and auditorily, from Los Angeles, where he lives and works, in applying some of these techniques of building mass movements and incorporating them on behalf of, in his case, low-income people, working people in the city of Los Angeles. He shared with us, and I'm going to get into it a little bit more later when we get into commenting on what's happening currently in the world and the need to take action and pay heed to some of the things that Paul and his brother Mark talk about in the book, how we all need to become more active in building, not just knowing about issues, but building movements that create the change that we desire. So anyway, it was a great discussion and tremendous presentation by Paul Engler. Thursday, last evening, was the first of what is to be five monthly programs, a study series on oppression, self-determination, and making change. That took place at the WOMB, the Way of Mind and Body in Akron. The study series will be looking at everything from multiple social movements throughout history, issues around many concerns, particularly these days, around race, racism, privilege, white privilege, white supremacy, oppression in its many forms, classism, sexism, ageism, ableism, democracy, self-determination, Many of these concepts we, yesterday, last evening, defined, came to mutual agreement about what we mean by these, and began to drill down and look at issues of race and racism and differentiating them between simply prejudice or bigotry or hatred, and help us sort of understand what these differences are, what exists, and how these concerns, how real they are, how much they've been used to divide, separate, and keep people apart and distracted from other concerns that are certainly related, but sometimes are used to keep us off attention to other issues that in some ways may be just as important. So, and not to diminish or disparage any of those concerns, particularly issues around race and racism, which are operating and assuming, rightly so, center stage at the moment. But in looking at how race and class intersect is something that needs to be done, and we do plan to do. So anyway, it was a very successful and very enriching discussion among the 14 people who were there. Perfect size, though it is open to others. You don't have to attend the first to attend the second, or attend the first and second to attend the third. No way, shape, or form. The next gathering will be Thursday again, first Thursday of every month through February. So the November meeting will be November 3rd, same time, same place, potluck 5:30. Study series begins at 6. If interested, give us a call. We'll be announcing again more details about this later, closer to the event. But you can go to the, if you're on Facebook, just check out Moving Toward Action. That's sort of the overall theme of this study series, Moving Toward Action, or give our office a call, 330-928-2301, and would be glad to let you know what the study series specifically is going to be a study by way of readings, which we'll be happy to send you links to them. So that was last evening. Also last evening that we certainly helped a bit in helping create, which was something called Kent Democracy Day, which was part of the citizen initiative passed by the residents, citizens of Kent as part of the National Move to Amend campaign that we supported and assisted some of the organizers and activists in Kent to put together and support to get on the ballot. As part of that citizen initiative that, of course, calls on Congress to pass a constitutional amendment to declare corporations are not people, money is not speech, is this spiffy provision that exists in all of the initiatives, eight now and counting, three more on the ballot as we speak in November, and communities of Shaker Heights, South Euclid, and Newark are working on educating and getting individuals, voters, hustled to the polls and vote even before by mail in support of their respective initiatives in those communities. But as it stands now, there's eight communities that have passed these initiatives, and all of them call for a what's called a Democracy Day that once a year or every other year invites citizens from that community as well as citizens from outside the community to come to testify on the impact of big money in elections and corporate constitutional rights never intended on their lives, their communities, their neighborhoods, the world as they see it, issues that they're concerned about. Up to 5 minutes each, and that is what happened last evening in Kent, the first ever since the initiative was passed there last November. So this was the very first time where such a quote-unquote Democracy Day occurred. Turned out, from indications, as I've received this morning, it went very well. 18 people testified on a range of issues, concerns, all of which may at first seem very different, but actually very much apart and connected. And that connection being that we can't get very far at all in moving what we are concerned about toward fruition or toward a real, authentic solution, so long as these hurdles, as these impediments, as these blockages, as these profoundly undemocratic barriers exist to we the people in pushing through and connecting with our public officials to see them pass law, legislation, regulations, edicts, statutes that promote, create policies and practices that will create the sort of justice, peace, democracy, sustainability that we want on any of these issues, so long as corporations have these constitutional rights and money is defined as speech, which have been used, misused, perverted, corrupted, misinterpreted, usurped, pick your favorite, all of the above adjectives to prevent we the people from connecting authentically from those who represent us, or even if we try to go to the polls directly and get something on the ballot where we face then tremendous financial opposition with the powers to be, whether it's extremely wealthy individuals or corporations bankrolling, opposition to citizen initiatives on issues that most people care about but then don't have any chance of passage when huge amounts of money are spent. Sometimes, in spite of that, the people prevail, but a lot of times they don't. And that's where huge amounts of money come in. That's where corporate power comes in to shape public opinion through not just money, but through ownership of the press, where they then can manipulate how issues are framed, how they're tailored, how they're communicated. All of that is profoundly undemocratic and will continue to be profoundly undemocratic until there are many more communities that join Kent and the hundreds now, more than 500 communities around the country that have passed either resolutions or ballot initiatives calling for this move to amend like 28th We the People constitutional amendment. Three more communities are calling for this. In Ohio, many others around the country, even a couple of states led by the state of Washington and California. Not quite the full enchilada, so to speak, in California, but pretty close. Washington state, pretty much the full effort in calling for ending both corporate personhood and money as speech. So very exciting. The movement is growing, and we're confident, and we're trying to do what we can to support those initiatives in South Euclid, in Shaker Heights, and in Newark to pass this November. If you live in either of those, and particularly those hearing this message may be in Northeast Ohio and want to help, you don't have to live in places like South Euclid or Shaker to help drop door hangers and spread the word. Give our office a call, 330-928-2301. We'll be glad to put you in touch with those organizers in those communities. Well, that is up for all for this week of activities that took place last week. Next week coming up, beginning actually this weekend, a two-day gathering that pretty much full day actually that we are working with, that we are co-sponsoring with Hip Hop Congress and Move to Amend, something called What the Bleep Happened to Hip Hop. It's a two-day educational and performance event taking place Saturday and Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Events begin with a conference that goes from 9 to 6 at Lake Erie Inc., which is in the former Coventry Elementary School, address 2843 Washington Boulevard in Cleveland Heights. This part of the two-day event will be sort of education around addressing the corporatization of culture in general and how corporate power has co-opted music, dance, and other arts, and how we need to build a movement to end corporate rule, with a particular emphasis, of course, on hip-hop, and how that genre began as an expression of people in communities, particularly communities of color, focusing on the realities of their communities through this form of unique music and spoken word combination. That was before long captured or commodified by corporations, by the music industry, by the alcohol, the cigarette, and others to focus on very unjust conditions and situations around misogyny, violence, and oppression in other forms. So Hip Hop Congress is an organization nationally that came together to challenge that and to try to recapture that, the genre, to once again focus on how hip-hop can be and should be and is being in many communities by many artists, including those who are connected to Hip Hop Congress. They hooked up with National Move to Amend, and there have been these What the Bleep Happened to Hip-Hop educational and performance events that have taken place around the country over the last couple of years, probably seven or eight of them. So the Cleveland event is one in a series that is going on around the country. AFSC is very happy to hook up with them. And so there will be this conference going on. I'll be on one or two panels. Many others will be from the community who are from community organizations, from there be hip-hop performers that will be on various panels taking place around a variety of issues, how hip-hop was captured, what it was like at one time, what it's trying to be still, as well as issues around voter education, suppression, repression, registration, as well as issues around mass incarceration, the prison industrial complex, and other instances of how corporations have captured certain other elements and institutions and realities in our society that particularly impact the African-American community, people of color, and urban areas. So the purpose is certainly to shed light on what once was, how it was captured, how it can be, what's being done to try to reverse it. A culture, as we know, is a dynamic process that both reflects and creates consciousness, and it plays an exceedingly important role in building grassroots movements. And that's what this is all about. And the dominant culture is one, is it not, on any issue area that typically is the culture of the ruling class. And when the ruling class is a corporate oligarchy that's commodifying everything, and including, in this case, the artistic products of we the people, then culture becomes not a source of liberation, but one of oppression, and can indoctrinate and reinforce dominant positions or themes that the dominant culture wants to inculcate the rest of us to keep us apart. And certainly in this case, hip-hop has been used to reinforce racist, sexist, and classist stereotypes in order to divide and conquer us into manageable social groups that then can be controlled. So that this conference, beginning at 9 o'clock, going until 6, will focus on many of those themes. And then in the evening, beginning at 7 o'clock, will be a hip-hop artist showcase and open mic. They will take place at B-Side Arcade and Lounge, 2785 Euclid Heights Boulevard, also in Cleveland Heights, basically right across the street, catacorner from Lake Erie, Inc., where Peace Park is located, pretty much right at the corner or intersection of Coventry and Euclid Heights Boulevard. Both events are free, open to the public. There'll be free will donations accepted, but no cost for entrance to either event. Sunday, we mentioned this is a two-day event. On Sunday, beginning at 1 p.m. at Coventry Library, also in Cleveland Heights, 1925 Coventry Road, right next door, basically, to Lake Erie, Inc., the former Coventry Elementary School, will be a discussion about where do we go from here, focusing on strategy and, in particular, trying to come together among the various individuals and groups that are part of those who will have been attending and facilitating workshops on the day before. And then Sunday evening, to close both days, will be an open mic, beginning also at 7 p.m. at Callaloo Cafe on Waterloo Road, 15601 Waterloo Road in Cleveland. beginning at 7 o'clock on Sunday. So again, Saturday, 9 to 6 is the conference. 7 p.m. till I think 9 o'clock or so, 9:30 is the artist showcase. Sunday at 1 p.m. is the strategy session, where do we go from here, and then 7 p.m. is the open mic at Callaloo Cafe. Specifics, details of all of these is on our website, our Facebook page. You can also just Facebook, just put in What the Bleep Happened to Hip Hop Conference, and the event will pop up. So it's free, open to the public. Join us tomorrow and or Sunday. On Tuesday, I will be speaking in the afternoon at a class and on the campus of University of Akron on social policy about AFSC and social change. And I'm sure if you were interested in that, you could just show up. If interested, give our office a call on Monday, 330-928-2301, and we'll let you know where all that is located. And then Wednesday, October 12th, 6 o'clock, is the next meeting of Radio Free Akron at our studio, 190 North Union Street in Akron. That's open to the public as we continue to work on pushing for low-power FM community radio that we, the people, at a grassroots level and layer, own and decide what needs to be communicated, how it needs to be communicated, and who is doing the communicating. So all of that is something we are continuing to work on and move closer to that goal. So join us at 6 o'clock Wednesday, Radio Free Akron, 190 North Union Street in Akron. Well, normally at this juncture, many a week, we focus on various news items from the past week and comment on them and provide some perspective, if not also encourage people to take some kind of action. And we, again, this week are diverging a bit from that, at least from commenting on any particular current event from the previous week, but not at all diverging from the need for taking action, because implied in what these next comments are is the absolute positive requirement, necessity that we all take action because our whole future is at stake. And in particular, just wanted to elaborate and lift up a number of points made, a number of reflections that I had, and maybe some others if you were at this meeting this past week with Paul Engler. The Skype and discussion previously mentioned around his book, This is an Uprising, and how nonviolent social movements are changing the 21st century, that he made that I think are worthy of sharing, because it I think presents us with a pathway of how we need to move ahead. You know, we focus so much attention, most of us who are activists, on paying attention to a specific issue, or sometimes more than one issue, and become very adept, very astute, very knowledgeable, sometimes as knowledgeable, if not more knowledgeable, than those who are on the other side of the issue, or those who are in positions of power trying to promote whatever it is they're trying to promote, that's trying to prevent us from getting whatever it is we want. We learn as much about that issue, not just sort of the politics, the economics, but sometimes the science, the psychology, the physiology, whatever the issue is, the basics necessary to understand that issue. And we become experts on it. When it comes then to figuring out, well, what are we going to do? That moves to the second phase, which is, what are the alternatives? What is it that we want to promote? And sometimes we learn a great deal about that. But then there's a third phase to it. Sometimes, of course, in the second phase, people aren't focused on that, of promoting alternatives. They're just sort of satisfied with just learning about the particular problem and stopping at that and saying, what's going on today is wrong, and hand-wring, and it is. But if you just stop at that first stage of identifying the problem without offering a solution, then, you know, how far are you in being a part of the solution? You are, to the extent of identifying the problem, but it's going to take more than that, because if simply knowledge was power, then librarians would be the most powerful people on the planet. And last time I checked, they aren't. So just simply knowing about a problem and being able to accurately identify it is very important, but it's not enough. We've got to be change agents and actively engage in it. And part of that second step is to identify solutions and then to promote them. And that's important, to identify what those solutions are. But the third step then is to promote them, to try to implement them, to bring them to life. And that's hard because we are not, in general in our society, skilled and adept naturally. And we aren't schooled in how do you bring change? How do people? We tend to think, well, how that happens is we elect people who do that for us, who represent us. And that is sort of the beginning, and sadly, that is the end to what most of us believe is necessary to bring about change. But at different times throughout history, that has not been the case. People have taken charge and done an end run around public officials or forced public officials through political activity outside of merely elections. And that has happened throughout our history, but it has peaked and valleyed depending on what is going on at the time. So anyway, it's that outside the formal electoral process that Engler talks about, that's what nonviolent social movements are about. And they just don't happen all by themselves. Or there isn't just some sort of trigger or spark that happens, I don't know, like a sunspot, or that happens just out of the ethos. There certainly are moments, what he calls whirlwinds, things that come to a head where, and we can all name them, right? Where a woman decides she's not going to get up from the back of a bus, Rosa Parks. And that just kind of sparked a social movement. But that movement didn't start from zero at that point. There had been a tremendous amount of ground that had been seeds that had been planted and fertilized before those kinds of sparks happen that lead then to a mass sort of awakening that we then can take advantage of and try to move toward bringing about social change. So what he talked about, Engler did, to us was various ways of organizing to bring our good ideas that are trying to rectify problems to life through various organizing models. And these organizing models have taken sort of different forms and have had different main advocates. A guy named Saul Alinsky that maybe some of you heard about certainly was the main promoter and initiator of a type of organizing, at least in the U.S. context, that focuses on sort of developing relationships one at a time and organizing structure, organizing groups that brings together these individuals, that builds power, that meets an immediate pressing need in people's immediate environments. In their communities, in their neighborhoods, on their blocks, can be very micro-oriented, but it's been very effective, very effective. And those are called kind of transactional forms of exchanges in trying to, you know, we put pressure on you and you give us what we want. So there's a transaction made and, you know, it's immediate. Well, sometimes it takes a while to organize that, but it's measurable and it meets an immediate need and people can feel that immediate need met. But, you know, you can, as he says, not to use a war analogy, but that's what we're doing, you can win the battle but still lose the war. And Engler was part of that kind of style of organizing, which is still very necessary to do, but needs to be sort of blended, infused, and hybrided, that's even a word, into a different kind of model. And that's what he calls a transformational, momentum-driven mass mobilization. Model, momentum-driven mass mobilization, where we're all familiar with that kind of model, where people hit the streets. They turn out in huge numbers at different times throughout the past or present. Whether it's been trying to get women the right to vote, and huge demonstrations take place, or labor trying to organize for their rights of self-determination and right to organize and to negotiate for contracts. Massive movements that have led to strikes and boycotts and the like, but people turning out in huge numbers against the Vietnam War, for the environment. More recently, Black Lives Matters, Occupy, have had different huge events. The many wars against, well, you fill in the blank, Iraq, Afghanistan. I mean, those kinds of events that, you know, at different points, at different times, have been more successful than others in bringing about lasting change, to be sure, but have been part of this whole movement of trying to bring change and trying to force public officials to do what's required to be done. Engler went on to talk about what it takes to build this kind of momentum-driven mass mobilization, a commitment to, you've got to be committed to disrupt the status quo, which many people find, you know, a little against the culture, right? We should all try to get along and try to win people over to our side sort of gently. Well, yeah and no. You try that, but you also have to disrupt. You have to put a cog in the machine that is moving toward injustice and violence and the like. You've got to disrupt that. You've got to stop that. You have to take advantage of these sparks and these whirlwinds, these triggers, and use it to disrupt, to escalate, to build this movement. And oftentimes that involves sacrifice, meaning you physically, literally have to put your body on the line, certainly beyond sacrificing time, energy, resources, which all of those are forms of sacrifice anytime we get involved in a social movement. But sometimes also sacrificing your body and risking arrest. That's what nonviolent civil disobedience is all about. And being disciplined to maintaining nonviolence, because the moment you focus on violence, then the powers to be, they've got violence. They've got a corner on violence. No matter what amount of violence we may unleash, they've got more superior power to respond and respond in orders of magnitude that are much greater than anything we could ever bring to the table. So we will always lose that kind of a battle. So this kind of momentum-driven mass mobilization is not simply riding or harnessing a wave of energy connected to a current injustice, but to have staying power beyond that immediate moment, you have to have create and maintain structures and institutions, because that moment, that wave will pass. And that's where having structure and institutions is so important. Occupy was sort of huge, and it was, you know, it happened a number of years ago, 5 years, in fact. We're commemorating the anniversary this past, last month. No, in September, I think it was. Middle of September. But that faded by December for a variety of reasons, a big one being, of course, the police in a concerted effort working with the federal government in trying to put a kibosh on it. But there wasn't, you know, if there had been sort of an institutionalization and structure associated with it, some of that may have been able to continue in a more organized and in a more sort of sustainable way that would have maintained some elements of a mass movement. Of course, there were people within Occupy that didn't want anything to do with that, and that's why they were part of Occupy. They were against formal structures and institutions, and fearing that those would be captured or hijacked or co-opted by the Democratic Party or other existing, you know, labor unions, whatever. They wanted something separate, apart, and furthest thing from their mind and desire was structure or institutions. Building movements, Engler went on, means depending on grassroots, not depending on politicians. They'll come around, they'll see the light when pressure builds. It's happened historically when all of a sudden politicians that were fighting for oppression against people of color came around to civil rights measures, including even Jesse Helms in the South. Marriage equality, amazing how there's been this transformation or evolution seemingly overnight with politicians that were against and spoke out against and voted against laws for marriage equality, all of a sudden now being for it and being open for it. Well, did that due to simply sort of seeing the light all of a sudden, having an aha experience, or being pressured from a growing movement at the grassroots? Same with civil rights, same with what we're seeing today, I think, around money in elections, through the issue around growing economic inequality, thanks to Occupy. Politicians are finally starting to see the light, but still we can't depend on politicians. They will be moved when we put enough pressure on them. Otherwise, they will be changed, and that's what elections are all about. And even if they do move, and even if we do change them, well, there's also, of course, social movements that do end run around politicians when we organize ballot initiatives and do democracy directly. Building relationships is a key in all of these models. Focusing on building personal alternatives, as is big right now, and rightly so. You know, people are increasingly seeing, you know, we've got to be the change we want to see in the world, as Gandhi said. Rightly so, we have to change our own values, our own lifestyles, our own way of operating, but Gandhi didn't simply focus on changing himself. He focused on changing structures and institutions. He was that unique individual that blended, that bridged both personal transformation with societal transformation. And that's what Engler emphasized we need to be about as well. He spoke about something called the ecology of change, where, you know, no matter what issue we may be involved about, we're all trying to figure out, you know, what's that sort of magic bullet? What sort of the issue that oversees, overarches, undergirds all of these? And we all, you know, many of us tend to think we've got the one that may or may not be. It certainly Move to Amend thinks that way. Those who are involved in climate change think that way. And others think that way. And Engler says, you know, that's fine. There is no right or wrong answer at this point. We're all so small and basically so powerless still that we're barely on the radar screen. Well, climate change movement, a little bit different, that it really doesn't matter. Focus on where you are. Try to build mass movements where you are. And at some point, since all of these issues are connected together anyway, it doesn't matter what you're focusing on anyway. Focus on where you are, what your expertise is on your issue, where your passion is, what you do best. And one of these issue areas will emerge as a mass social movement, or a couple of them together, since there's so many crises out there that require change. So anyway, he ended with both an observation and a challenge, that momentum-driven mass mobilization is basically the only hope, he says, we have for survival. It's going to, you know, come down to us educating and organizing to build such mass movements and to literally force systemic change. It's not going to be the politicians. It's not going to be led by the politicians or corporate CEOs. It's not going to be widely discussed in mass corporate media or mainstream academia. It never has, and it won't now. It is going to be us that is going to have to take charge. So that's the call to action for this week, to take charge, to learn about what's required to build a social movement, the skills required. It's like anything. You've got to know the right tool to use when you're doing a job. And that's what learning these skills are about. AFSC over the next couple of months is going to be organizing a couple of events around what some of these tools are for social change. This Taking Action seminar and series going on at the WOMB, we're going to be dealing with that, moving toward action, particularly the last two sessions of it in January or February. We'll certainly let you know about that. But make a commitment now to becoming part of learning not just more about your particular issue that you feel, or issues that you feel passionate about, or understanding more the specifics of the alternatives that you feel are necessary, and learning more about those, but commit yourself also to this third principle, that of what it's going to take to organize, the skills required, the tools required to bring about change. And as Engler speaks to it, you know, we can win a lot of battles, but we're losing the larger war. And that war is around politics, economics, environment, social, racial. There are all of these crises that are reaching critical points. And we're just seeing that's what so much of the angst is about. Feeling that people's voices are not heard, needs are not met, and fundamental ways that we've been told change happens and justice occurs and fairness takes place simply is not true. So that's what the commitment is now and needs to be, to focus on becoming more better change agents. So that's all for this week. Keep up with our activities. Contact us with questions, concerns, or willingness to help out or take part in one of these upcoming discussions around becoming a more skilled change agent. Our phone is 330-928-2301, website afsc.org/Akron, Facebook page facebook.com/NEOAFSC. Our program blog, Northeast Ohio, afsc.wordpress.com. My blog, createrealdemocracy.wordpress.com. Until next week, onward for justice, peace, and democracy.